Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Well, hey, welcome to today's podcast. This is Tom LeCompte.
And I'm Gavin Durson, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. We're glad you're here with us today, and we're going to jump right into it today. Tom, why don't you go ahead and sort of introduce your topic here.
Well, Gavin, I've been thinking a lot. I've been involved with our particular house church for probably more than 14 years now, and watched our kids grow up in a house church, and it didn't occur to me until just recently that, you know what? Neither one of my kids are now involved in a simple, organic house church. They're in a mainstream, brick-and-mortar established church, both of them. And then I got to looking at the other kids that had grown up in our house church, it seems like, well, now they're all in an established brick-and-mortar traditional church setting. None of them seem to be involved in what we would consider an organic or simple church or house church. And I got to wondering why. So why is that? First, before I get into that, I just want to say I'm very, very grateful that most of our kids are still involved in some kind of church. And I'm very grateful for that. Because if you read the statistics, it's up to 70% of kids that grew up in a church kind of leave the church in their early 20s. And, some of them come back, but, a lot of them just kind of walk away from the church, at least for a period of time. That's not the case, what I'm talking here.
Yeah.
But I got concerned, I'm so passionate about, this simple form of church and how lean and mean and missional and everything. And yet, when our kids have grown up and got a life of their own, they're back to where we were years ago, back in the traditional church. Which again, I'm grateful that they're still in a church, but I'm just wondering, why aren't they as enthusiastic about the simple church as I am? So, basically, I kind of put together a survey. I just wanted to know why. So I put together a little survey on SurveyMonkey, and you can, if you want to fill it out, you can. It's on the website. keepitsimple.com. But it's just simple 10 questions. Hey, if you were ever involved in a house church when you were growing up, and now you're an adult and you're not involved in a house church, what are some of the things that led you to I don't want to say walk away from the house church, but just switch church format?
Today's podcast is brought to you by The Lazy Apron, quality prepared meals for your house church gathering. Has this ever happened to you? On your way to house church, they will be serving a meal, but you just didn't have time to prepare anything. So you stop by the gas station and grab a box of three-day-old sushi, a bag of chips, and some stale donuts that will be your hasty and lame contribution to the love feast. There's a better way. Just order all your potluck foods through The Lazy Apron. Just select a fine 7-course gourmet meal from our extensive menu, and everything will be sent to your doorstep by drone. Your gluten-free, fat-free, hormone-free, allergy-free, good-tasting-free, all-organic meal will come to you ready to serve right out of the box. So forget the manager special and the stale cookies. Order your next love feast from The Lazy Apron.
I'll just kind of read you some of the results, and you make your own determination. I don't want to make this any more than it should be. So I asked people, from age 18 to 35, and most of the respondents were that answered were 25 to 30. So these are people that just, have gotten out of college, just got married. How many years were you involved in house church? And most of them were 4 to 8 years, which is typical. 9 to 12, there was a few of them, some less than 3, but the majority were between 4 and 8 years they were involved in a simple church. And all of these have been Christian, and some of them have been Christian for more than 10 years. The 70% of the respondents have been Christians for more than 10 years, so that's encouraging. 50% of the respondents have moved to a church, and I was thinking, oh, they've gone to the big mega church, but that's not the case. 50% of them have gone to churches of between 300 and 1,000 members, which that's a medium-sized church. You know, that's not a mega church. So that's the majority of them. And then some of them are in churches that are even smaller, 20%. And then the rest of them are scattered around. Not many are in big mega churches. None of them are. None of the respondents. Well, that surprises me. Here's interesting thing. I asked them, you know, besides just going to morning worship on Sundays or Saturdays, if that's the case, what else do you do in your church? Are you or more involved? And most of them were not. Most of them just went to worship service and that was it. So I don't know what to make of that. But they also, I asked them, are you more or less involved in your current church than you were in the house church? And they all said more. So I don't know what to make of that. And then I asked them, if you're no longer involved in a house church, organic church, simple church, micro church, what factors influenced you to change your church setting? The vast majority said the quality of preaching or teaching. So these guys are in churches for the preaching and teaching, which I'm glad. I'm glad they are. It's kind of an indictment on our church that, you know, the quality of our teaching, preaching, you know, facilitating is not up to par. So, you know, as one of the elders, I have to take credit for that, or not credit, but take a little blame for that. So others, the next biggest factor in why they moved is I have more or better opportunities to serve in the church I'm in now. So that makes sense. I'm glad. That's a good reason. So none of them took the bait. One of the factors that I put on there is my parents' house church is lame and I want something better. Well, nobody took the bait for that. Nobody answered that. I'm glad. Thank you. So what do we make of that, Gavin? I don't know. Do you see any patterns?
Well, that? I mean, you and I have talked about this a little bit before, but, you know, I think for me, and I've never been to your house church, so at full disclosure, I can't speak to your particular community, but I know that for me, you know, when I hear this idea of teaching, I mean, that's something that, you know, we certainly have talked about on this podcast before, but I feel like that Simple Church is on a completely different kind of a thing in the sense that, you know, I'm hoping to create, my children, you know, I probably need to revisit this podcast in about 15, you know, about 10 more years to see what happens with my children, but I'm trying to help them to understand that church is not a place where you come to get a teaching necessarily, right. But it's a place where you come to give a teaching, that we're all contributing, we're all coming to give. I think I share with you the analogy of, if you think about it as food, like if I come
like a cafeteria,
to, yeah,
I
like
want
well,
this, I want this,
well,
I want
or this. If I come to Simple Church every week and I'm like, wow, you know, like I don't think I'm gonna come here anymore because the food's not very good, then the question then becomes, well, hey, you know, if I'm just making the food every week for you and you don't like my food, that makes sense. But maybe it doesn't make sense if we look at what we're doing here as a place where we all come and put food on the table,
right, right,
for us all to share. And when that happens, if the food's not very good, then you have no ownership in that. Or at least if I've put some food on the table, then I at least know my food I brought is good. Does that make sense? And
yeah.
So I don't know that you can translate that completely to spiritual food of giving people, encouraging each other. But I think it speaks to me, and I don't know that any of us are being completely successful with this, but to me, a big part of Simple Church is to try to help people move away from a consumer Christianity, that
yeah.
I'm coming to this church because it meets my needs. But that this is my church family. These are the Christians that I'm in community with, and we get together so that we can, you know, do the one another's, that I can feed each other God's word and feed each other the things that God is teaching me. So, you know, that's the only thing, and I'm kind of rambling a little bit perhaps, but I think, you know, when you share those thoughts with me, I'm wondering within, like, my the simple church I'm in now, and I'm wondering, because I don't think there's necessarily great teaching there, but there's not even really a forum where one person is even look. I think most people that come think pretty quickly on, like, well, this is something altogether different. Like, there's not going to be a teaching by one person given.
Right.
Like, we're going to have a. I'm thinking back just to last week. Like, I feel like there was a definite teaching that emerged as everyone shared, and it was actually cool how the Holy Spirit sort of wove it together. But we really got to talking about, you know, being connected to the vine.
Right, right.
And that theme kind of was, God was actually doing something in several people's hearts through that same passage. And it was really beautiful how sort of the teaching came about, but there was really no one person that owned it. So
yeah, and I don't want to give you the impression that that's what our church is about, is like having one teacher each week teach. We don't do that very often.
Yeah.
What we try to do more is a guided discussion.
Yeah.
But it is kind of planned, it is kind of mm-hmm. guided, and there is some preparation done beforehand, and some of it's, you know, obviously better than others. So our idea of having a preacher preach, we do that when we all gather our groups together, but we still try to make it interactive and more of a discussion than a sermon. So, yeah, we don't do sermons very well at our church, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
So, why do you think? Let me put it back to you. Why do you think that people would say, what would cause a person, whether it's in your simple church or any simple church, to get to the place where they say, you know what, like, I think I'm going to go somewhere else where I can have better teaching. Like, what might be some reasons that would happen?
I would hope it's not our doctrine, because, you know, I'm part of the problem. We're part of the solution. I hope it's not the doctrine, and I hope it's not the delivery. I think some of it is just the involvement. Maybe they feel like or they felt like they were not really a part owner in it. You know, they were certainly, we always ask them questions, we always encourage them to speak up, but, you know, by and large, they were pretty silent. And you know, maybe we should have tried harder to involve them more directly, you know, instead of just having them listen to the adults talk about a topic.
I think this is an important topic, because I was just having a conversation with a gentleman who's they're part of our network here, and they have a lot of teenagers involved in it, and there are a lot of families, he was voicing similar concerns. Like, these teenagers, they just sit kind of very quietly. They're not engaged in what's going on. So, you know, again, like, if I'm...
And if you try to get them involved, they feel embarrassed sometimes. So
yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know, it's... So it's, I think, a catch 22.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that the dream would be, and the hope would be, and I'm trying to work this through with my own children as well, but I think for them to feel as though, and to make sure that maybe as adults and parents, we have to maybe go out of our way to help them know, and to really drive this point home. But to help them understand that, you know what, like, we see you all as teenagers as every bit as much leaders in this. And maybe it's the expectation. Maybe do we put high enough expectation on them? Are we thinking even in terms of, like, our children, our teenage children, would we expect them to start a simple church themselves, you know, even at an early age, like, to see that, you know what, this isn't just something, like, when we talk about making disciples and seeing the church multiply, do we think of them as being a part of that, or are we, you know, and I don't know the answer to that. I'm wrestling through that in my own mind, but, like, we talk about there, no one gets a junior Holy Spirit, but, you know, is that just in our mind, or do we really, like, believe that? Do we believe that a 17, 16 year old kid is like, do we have that expectation, or that it would be the norm for them to be out meeting with another gentleman or a girl and make, you know, discipling them and helping them to even see church formed around them, just as we have in our own community and maybe with their families? Or we, you know, how are we doing it? You know, those are all the questions I think that, to me, like when I think about that issue. And again, the goal is not to make sure that kids don't grow up and go to a brick and mortar church. But,
right.
I do believe passionately as you that in what we're doing, why we're doing it.
Yeah.
And I would love to see my children start a house church and simple church and to be a part of that multiplication we long to see.
And I think sometime in their a certain season of life, they're going to want to come back to doing that. You know, like we were talking about this at lunch. You and I grew up in the church. And so we've had the benefit of having all this, quote, good teaching and, quote, good programs and things like that. And we wanted to take that, what we've been developed with, what we grew up with, and pass that along through another venue like the Simple Church, because we feel like, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. That's kind of why we do Simple Church. We feel like we want to pass this on. We want to make disciples. And the best way for us to do it is in a smaller, simple venue like the Simple Church. Our kids have returned back to where we started, I guess. They're back in the church. They're soaking this up. And my prayer and my hope is that sometime in their future, they're going to see the need for a return to a missional type of simple, lean, mean, organic ministry, like what Caleb was talking about today, and they'll see it and they'll do it, and that's my hope for them.
Yeah, I think again, you know, we disciple making is always the central issue, and if someone's making disciples, regardless of the kind of church they go to, like to me, that's always the most foundational issue, and you know, I guess so. Maybe it's good for us to be reminded of that, you know, what we're hoping to do is to model a lifestyle of disciple-making,
right,
where we open up our home and our lives to those that do not know Christ and help them walk with Jesus and learn to be a part of his family. If we go to a brick-and-mortar church on a Sunday or Wednesday night once a month or every week,
yeah,
so
obviously.
Be it. But are we making disciples, and are we engaged in that? Or have we become, are we contributing in any way to people becoming spectators in this life, and you know, kind of being sucked into American Christianity, where, you know, we're just getting fatter with knowledge and we're consuming and consuming,
yeah,
but you know, we're not breathing out. We're just breathing in and breathing in, and we know what that will do. That will cause someone to die if they never exhale. And so
right,
we want that spiritual breathing to happen in our children's lives. And again, I'm, you know, on the front side of it, where you're on the back side of this, but. And so I can't really speak to it with anything more than what I'm hoping and what I believe to be happening. But I do think that we, you know, it's kind of, I think we always have to be evaluating if we're trying to have simple church and basically make it like normal church, like we're never going to be good enough. If our children don't, if the new believers that come into our fellowships don't see that, look, this is something totally different altogether. We're not trying to be a church as you may know it.
Right.
We're going to be something totally different. I mean, if it's about the music and about the teaching, there's no house church that's ever going to be able. I mean, like, if we make it about that, then I'm out of my house church too, because I can definitely have better music and teaching at one of many other places.
Yeah.
So
there's some good churches out there. There's some good preachers, there's some excellent music out there, and it's all available to them. And
so if we are communicating to people that we're trying to, that's what we believe church is, you know, then I, you know, I think to me that's where I'm like, hey, that's fine. If somebody's at a place where they need good teaching and good music, and that's important to them, and that's really what they want, then house church, coming to my house church is not going to be what they want, is not going to be
right,
satisfying. And that's fine. Because honestly, my belief is that it's the people that are outside of that church that they're not sitting around thinking, man, I sure would go to church this Sunday if I could just find a church with some good teaching and some good worship music. I mean, if they're not believers, that's the last thing that they're thinking or wanting, you know. Now, I believe that they would, if they were welcomed into someone's home where they could be a part of a meal and a family and be loved and have a relationship.
Yeah,
then they are. And and so, again, we have to make sure that we're not, I think as it relates to our children, that they understand that, why we do what we do, how teaching works, what does it mean to help people become self-feeding, and what does it mean to give people, teach people how to fish rather than to give them a fish every Sunday,
right?
And help them to understand the differences in that and model it. And even to, even if that means being uncomfortable to where, you know, we do turn it over to our teenagers for a month or whatever, every so often, it depending on how you do it, if we let them be the ones to lead, or if they're not worked into the normal discussion, we really put them in positions to where they have to learn to exhale and give out what they're in taking in throughout the week, and understand that they have just as much a spot at the table as the adults. If they have the Holy Spirit that we believe and expect, that God will use them to teach us and put them in the spots where that can happen.
Well, I don't want it to seem like this is a negative thing, because I will say this about our kids and the kids that, you know, that took this survey, if they came mostly from our church, is I know their parents, I know them, the kids themselves, and I do know that they have an above average ability to read the scriptures and understand them and to interpret them and to actually apply them above average as compared to other Christians their age. I know this for a fact. This is direct observation, and I'm proud of them for that. I'm proud of my kids for that. So it seems like we did something right. But I would like to get into a time machine right now and look at your situation in 10 years like that and see what your kids are currently doing and compare it to what they're going to do in 10 years, and when they have their own family, what's going to happen. So
Well, I'm a hope and prayer is that whether or not they call it Simple Church or not, but as my kids get into their teenage years, I really hope and pray that they would, not because I'm expecting them to, but because of their love for Christ, that they would want and desire to start making disciples.
And that they would come
to us and say, can you all pray for me that I might be able to go over to so-and-so's house and start sharing the gospel with him and helping him or her to learn to read the Bible. And they would take that going mentality that Simple Church, I think, must be based on and begin to apply that to their lives as a person who is going into the world to make disciples, not setting up shop trying to get people to come to us, but that they would be a people on the go. That's my deepest prayer for my kids.
That is my desire as well. And I don't want this to seem like, something went wrong, because our kids are wanting to put Jesus first, whether they're in a brick and mortar church or a Simple Church. That's my prayer for them, is that they always, always will put Jesus first and obedience to him and his commands. I want that to be number one. So not where they go to church. So that is interesting. I just thought it'd be, a good conversation for a little bit. And if you have any thoughts on this, leave us a comment. If you're one of these people we're talking about that you're thinking about going, returning to a more traditional church, you've grown up in the church or Simple Church, or vice versa, you've grown up in a traditional church and you want to check out what this Simple Church concept's all about, man, we would love to hear from you and your insights and your observations, and maybe you've got something that we're missing. This portion of our show is brought to you by Assault and Light, audio-visual solutions for home worship. Is your single acoustic guitar not doing it for your home church worship? Need more than YouTube videos to enhance your home worship experience? Call Assault and Light, the audio-visual solution for house church worship. With our advanced technology and our 5,000-watt sound system, we can transform your living room into a worship center that any praise band would be proud to perform in. And don't forget our mood-enhancing light array, along with our long-lasting fog machine. Once you've experienced worship with Assault and Light's patented dynamic sensory experience, you won't want to worship any other way. Assault and Light, when that still small voice needs to go to 11.
I want to give a update here on the Zume Project. Some of that, you've been listening to this podcast, you've heard me mention this before. ZumeProject.com is live, and I thought it was going to be a good resource, a good tool for folks interested in making disciples and seeing house churches and simple churches multiplied, but honestly, it's even better than I thought it would be. And I highly encourage everyone to check it out, ZumeProject.com. Now, essentially, the Zume Project was designed and is designed for people to go through it in a group. And so there's a couple in there, and it's going to be continually fleshed out in the months to come. But just so you know, when you go there, it's going to ask you to log in and create an account, and it's going to ask you to give emails of the people in your group. And you might be saying, well, Gavin, I don't know if I want to do this with a group. I don't even know exactly what this is. No worries. Put emails in of three other friends, your wife's email, and two of your alternate emails is fine. And I'm probably not supposed to tell you that, but just do that because you want to be able to get in there, and you will need to give those emails to be able to get in so that you can look through the training and see what it's all about. And it is really, really good. It could be an excellent tool for your house church to go through if you've kind of gotten a rut or you feel like, man, we need to be more reaching out. We haven't seen the multiplication that we long to see happen. This could be a great tool. It's a 10-week, training session is 2 hours, and you could modify that some in there, and you'll see once you get into it. It'll involve a couple of short video scribes and then some exercises, and that's the bulk of the time. It's now, you know, go and prayer walk your neighborhood for the next 60 minutes and come back and discuss. And it's not just sitting and watching a computer. You're going to watch. It can kind of guide you through the session. There's a couple videos in each one, like I said, that you'll watch. There's a free manual you download, and you'll be able to see all this if you just go there, zumeproject.com, put in your email, give it three other emails.
We'll put a link on our website.
Yeah, and log in, and then you can kind of explore it. And like I said, if you have some other friends that you think you're knowing enough about it now to say, I think I have friends that might be interested, go ahead and just put their emails in, and it'll send them an invitation to join your group. And even if they don't, you can still get in there and see the training. And it is honestly, like I said, it's really good. If I were to give a 10-session training on Simple Church and House Church, this would pretty much be the exact same content that I would share, and the exercises would be a lot of the exercises I would encourage people to do as training for discipleship and simple church multiplication. So check it out, zumeproject.com, and let's know what your thoughts are about it. And it will be continuing to develop in the days and months to come. They're going to have an interactive map so you can see the entire United States and who's doing trainings and who aren't and where they are. And the goal is to see two multiplying house churches in every census tract in North America, and it'll be translated to other languages soon. So very excited about that. Let us know if you get in on it and how you're utilizing it. I do think that we're going to be trying to, rather than having a monthly training this summer for all of our Simple Church leaders to come to, I think we're going to take a few months off of that approach to leadership training and really encourage every leader to host a Zume training on a Wednesday in their home over the course of summer, inviting some new folks that, whether or not maybe they're friends that, you know, I think it's ideal for someone who, even if they go to whatever kind of church they go to, who says, I want my wife to be about more than working and going to church on Sunday. I want to engage in what God's doing. I want to be pushed out of the boat. I want to make a difference in my workplace, in my neighborhood. This is perfect. So check it out, zumeproject.com.
Okay. Gavin, do you like any stuff this week?
Yeah, I do. Thank you for asking, Tom. actually, I do. And we'll leave you with a song today. I always love music. And if you listen to the past several podcasts, I've been trying to leave you with a song. This guy popped up on, again, my favorite website. You can download it for free on noisetrade.com. His name is Zach, Z-A-C-H, Zach Winters, W-I-N-T-E-R-S, Zach Winters. He has put every album that he's ever made up for free on Noise Trade. And if you like some of the guys that maybe you've heard here before, guys like Josh Garrels, Sufjan Stevens, Some of the folks that he's kind of similar genre to, very much a folk artist, believer, writes really awesome deep lyrics about Christ and very poetic, and just love him a lot. Zach Winters, check him out. This song we're going to play for you is off his last album. It's a self-titled song. It's called Monarch, and just an incredibly beautiful analogy that I think you'll be blessed by. So check it out. Zach Winters on Noise Trade. All of his music's free. This is Monarch, and we'll see you next time on Keep It Simple.
Afternoon, when I saw your cocoon hanging silent, won't be here in the dark of the year when the light's spent. Been over in the shape of night, bottled up in a drinking cup. Summer yawns and autumn blankets, my lawn, what the time do to you? Restless fingers, clenched fist, no, is it time yet? Raising brows, counting down, no, is it time yet? Summer leaves and the evenings are brisk, you'll turn south. The same terms in the monarch burns from one's mouth, but they lift me. Twist, but your tough chrysalis is still holding. It seems the trick of the stall is you won't get out at all without the struggling. Yeah. Gotta be strong, cause it won't be long till you find. The same terms that the monarch learns from woman's mouth, will they see the orange.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.